Dieve agus fáilte a rás to the Crazy House Prices podcast with me, Ciarán Mulqueen, and today I have a very special guest on the podcast. It's content creator Niamh O'Sullivan, and Niamh is here to share her personal experience of buying her own home in Ireland, which is a really good story. You don't want to miss it. So basically, Niamh actually implemented my letter trick idea, which I spoke about in the last episode, so check that one out, when she found herself being outbid. So have a listen and wait till you see how that one played out. It's a really good conversation and it delves into the realities of buying a home in today's market. So I'm not going to waffle on anymore. Let's get into it. I just want to pause the podcast for a moment to talk to you about a company called Beat the Bank. So the stress of organizing mortgage protection just got a whole lot easier with beatthebank.ie. This amazing Irish company offers the guaranteed lowest price for mortgage protection in the country. And it's not just for first-time buyers. You can switch your own mortgage protection anytime and enjoy the benefits of their market-leading discounts. I, along with hundreds of my Instagram followers, have used Beat the Bank, and the feedback has been amazing over the last 12 months. With their 100% end-to-end digital experience, quoting and applying for mortgage protection has never been easier. You can get a quote in seconds and apply in minutes, without the hassle of unwanted sales calls or any paperwork. So visit beatthebank.ie today and protect your mortgage with ease and peace of mind. Beat the Bank saves you time and money on mortgage protection, whether you're a first-time buyer or looking to switch. They've also just launched income protection and life insurance on the site too. And if you have a house or are renting and are planning to buy, you need to consider protecting your income. So check out beatthebank.ie. Now, back to the podcast. Now, on today's podcast, I have content creator Niamh O'Sullivan, who, as I said in the introduction, had really good success with the letter trick, as you guys have kind of labeled it now at this stage. So I wanted to get Niamh on to give her experience of buying a home and buying her own home, which she has finally managed to do. So welcome to the podcast, Niamh.
Thank you so much for having me. Delighted to be on.
My absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for taking the time out to come on, because I know time is tough to get. I know that more than most people at this stage. But So I have a few questions here for you about your whole home buying process, how you managed to get your own home. So I'll start with, I have the same five questions that I'm going to be asking everybody that on this kind of how people bought their own home series. So can you share the moment when you walked into what would eventually become your own home for the first time? How did it make you feel?
Oh God, I actually, because you sent me the questions beforehand, so I have them prepared, obviously, and it really brought me back to last September. It was when we first viewed our house that we're now in, and it was such an exciting time. Now, it was definitely stressful because it wasn't the first house we viewed or thought would be our home. But I think we definitely had that moment where when we walked in, we were like, okay, this needs to be it, or we need to try and make this happen. It was September, so when I remember even just driving into where the house is, very leafy, very sunny. It was a lovely morning. So that in itself was kind of set the scene nicely for us, how we pictured ourselves in the house, I suppose. But yeah, I think it was funny when I think back to the viewing. I found the whole process of viewing houses kind of weird, I suppose, to begin with, because when we would view
the same people over again, don't you?
But you know what?
Looking in the same area.
Yeah, and I spend a lot of time sizing people up. I was like, what car are they driving? What are they wearing? Like, you know, you're trying to see who, like, looks like they have loads of money to throw at a house, and you're like, oh God, I could never compete with someone like that. Or I don't know, I definitely overthought that piece of it, that's very true to me. I'm a bit of an overthinker. Like, I'd be going in with a blazer and like trying to look really smart and like look like a homeowner. Not sure what they look like, but yeah, it was funny. I think I found it weird at the beginning though, because you'd go to some viewings and you'd be dealing with the estate agent one-on-one, and you'd kind of get the impression that you were going to be walked through the house like the movies, you know, for the first time you'd ever view a house. But in reality, it's like, I remember viewing one house and I swear to God, there was about 40 people in the house. And I was just like, oh my God, I don't even want to have a conversation with the estate agent, because they don't know who I am, even though I thought this was a one-on-one viewing, which just doesn't happen because the demand is not there where we bought. So yeah, when we got to this house, there was about two other couples, I'd say, viewing it. And a lot of time spent sizing them up. But equally with the house, I think our goals for the house kind of changed, or our goals for what would be our house changed so much as we viewed houses, because we viewed ones that had no plumbing, the butte houses that needed like half of it knocked or, you know, a lot of work. And originally we did want to fix her upper because it would be kind of my personal interior design preference, like that kind of older style, but like, you know, putting your own stamp on something as opposed to, say, a new build.
What was it that changed your mind on that?
Money. Like, I just was like, no, we just kind of realized we had to move in somewhere that we could live in straight away. There wasn't, there just wasn't money there to go changing things or making any, you know, doing the extensions or, you know, I was like, oh, put in a new kitchen. And then I went to price that. I was like, never mind. Like, it's just the cost of changing things and the cost of trades work is just so expensive as well as the housing market. So yeah, we ended up buying a house that was a couple of years old, but a completely blank slate, completely perfect as is, needed minimal work, touch wood, bar kind of, you know, the interior design piece, which can wait, it's not urgent. So yeah, when we walked in and we realized that there was no work to be done, we were like, right, okay.
So did you know straight away? So like a lot of people say that, you know, when they walk in the door, they just know that that this will be their home. Did you get that feeling?
Oh, Ciarán, I got that with every house I walked into. And David, my fiance, he would always be like, Niamh, relax. I was like, this is it. This is the house for us. I could see us in here. He was like, you've said that 1,000 times. Like, yeah, this is great. We definitely had that moment with this house where we were driving away and we kind of weren't saying much, which... that for us was kind of telling because I just remember we were both like, oh God, you know, just really trying not to be overexcited for the other person. So that was kind of telling that we weren't like freaking out outwardly.
We were a bit like that when we were doing wedding venues for before.
Oh Jesus, don't get me started.
I know. Yeah. Anyway, we'll stick to housing. Right. Next question I have for you is, so in the journey of you guys buying your own home, was there anyone or one person in particular who played an instrumental role and why?
Yeah. So, well, my answer to this is multifaceted. So basically, I think first and foremost, if you're buying with a partner or a husband or wife or whatever, I think that person obviously is like your rock, I suppose. Like I know for David, like I definitely had his head absolutely wrecked. So having that sounding board there is one part of it. But I think for us, and this is something that we can definitely talk about, we're both self-employed. So having a really good accountant was so key. It's so tough when you are self-employed. So this was something that before I had even met David, this was something that I personally had been preparing for years. Just, I suppose, do they call it like financial hygiene or something like that? Like just being really organized and really on top of your finances and how things are looking and having a really good relationship with your accountant is so key for someone who's especially self-employed. So I was really lucky with that. Jim Doran is my accountant and he is phenomenal, especially for people who are self-employed. But yeah, he was brilliant. And then obviously a good broker. We used Doddle. They were amazing. Our solicitors were incredible, so patient. And then this is a bit of a, I suppose, wild card, but our estate agent was just phenomenal. And I know they have such a bad rep, but we used Jill Wright from Coonan's was our estate agent, and she was so lovely. We'll get on to the letter trick, I suppose, in a bit, but she was the one who was like willing to pass our letter on and when she really didn't have to, and was always on the other end of the phone. When I say I rang that woman, I'd say, I don't even know how many times, like I was throughout the bidding process, I was like, is this how you bid? What do I do now? Should I wait a day? She was like, Niamh, relax. Like she was just so lovely, like really warm towards us, just treated us like human beings. And we definitely had poor experiences with estate agents as well. Like I remember we viewed a house and I was obviously like, this is it. And it was a guy, he wasn't much older than us, but he said, yeah, you know, I'd say it was a Wednesday maybe we viewed the house. And he said, I'm actually heading away on holidays on Saturday, so we'd need to close by Friday. And I was like, what? So that was, you know, you get every type of person, but yeah, I have to just say that our estate agent was brilliant. Like she was so lovely. Great. So they are out there.
Well, I'm glad I'm glad you said that because I know everyone's like, I have this rep, I suppose, like always going after estate agents. But my view of them
but
is.
But it's fair a lot of the time
yeah,
as
no, it
well.
is. But my view of it is more of the good estate agents, like Jill was her name, was it?
Yeah.
Like her, more estate agents need to call out the awful behavior of the other ones because it is a minority.
Yeah.
Like most problems, it's always a minority of people cause the most problems, the squeakiest wheel and all that. But I think more agents need to be calling out. But I'm delighted that you had such a good experience with her because that's fantastic. And I'm probably telling a bit as well that it was a woman because most of the issues I come across, it's usually men. And I'm glad you said that about self-employed people because that is something I'm always talking about as well, is how difficult and how unnecessarily difficult it is for people who are self-employed. And we hear the banks are always going on about, you know, backing Brave and looking after the self-employed. But,
oh, give me a break.
Yeah.
I just think it's crazy.
Like SMEs are totally forgotten about. Small, medium enterprises, they employ most of the population. It's not your Googles and Facebooks. It's small and medium, 50 staff or less or entrepreneurs that make up the most amount. So I'm delighted it worked out well for you, and as you said, it's great to have good broker, good solicitor, good accountant, especially for
it takes a village, like it's mad,
and a good estate agent, so that's all positive. So
we were lucky in the end. But the whole thing about being self-employed, like I remember for me specifically, giving our documents to the bank. I think for me, I think I had over 100 documents, like in terms of, because I'm a content creator, quote unquote, I had to, for example, just to give people an insight into how it works, like I had to show that my work, like my paid work, comes from different industries. So primarily my income comes from food brands and I create food videos. But I also had to show that there was a balance of like beauty brands and say lifestyle goods or things like that, just to show that if, I don't know, for whatever reason, I could no longer work with food brands, that there was still enough there to keep me going, that I couldn't have too much of a reliance on one brand or one industry. I was going back, providing like all of my invoices for however many years to show proof of ability to earn. Like it's a lot.
And what does your fiance do?
He works in recruitment. Spot Recruitment is his company, and it specializes in financial recruitment.
Okay.
I think. Yes, financial recruitment.
I think. The trans monster.
Well, there's all these words. There's all these, like, all this lingo and, financial, like high-level financial recruitment, I think. Yeah.
Over 100 documents. That's insane. Hi, I am just going to pause the podcast for a second to talk to you about some sponsors of the Crazy House Prices podcast. This episode is sponsored by Daft.ie. Daft is Ireland's number one property portal. Daft has the most properties available for sale and rent and is the preferred national property website amongst consumers in Ireland. So Daft.ie's core vision is to make buying, selling and renting property better for everyone in Ireland. So Daft's mission is to simplify each step of every property transaction in the Irish market to make buying, selling and renting in Ireland simple. That's why Daft.ie build innovative tools like Offers by Daft, an online real-time offers platform that provides never-before-seen transparency for the Irish consumer when buying a home. Are you looking to buy? Maximize your chances of finding your dream home by visiting Daft.ie, Ireland's number one property website. Right, next question.
Yeah.
So what was one surprising or funny incident that happened during your house buying process?
Oh, God. Like, I think I definitely have to look back and laugh at how naive I was. Like, initially, I was like, before we decided to move back to Kildare, I was like, I love Dublin. Rathgar is lovely. Really like Rathgar. And then, like, I go and look at the prices of houses in Rathgar. I was like, okay, never mind.
Yeah.
Or even, like, I was like, okay, I think maybe a 6-bed out in the countryside would be lovely, a couple of acres, and then you're like, never mind. It's just so funny when you think about what you originally see yourself in, and obviously where we are, we're so happy and we're so grateful and so lucky to be here, but it's just funny, you just have to laugh at how naive you are.
You start off thinking you're going to get everything, and then it's like, okay, we might have to start, you know, taking
just starts
some
chipping away
our list. I guess moving on to the next part, then we might talk about how the letter worked for you. So and this might be that might be your answer to this question, but anyway, I'll ask the question. Was there a moment of panic or fear during your house buying process that you can share, and how did you overcome it?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Sorry. Yes, so being outbid was definitely the moment of panic for us. I suppose, yeah, we ended up in a bidding war for this house, and it was probably one of the most stressful things that we've ever done. Being that process is horrendous. It's really, really horrible. We ended up being completely outbid. We had stretched ourselves so thin anyway, and then we just got to the point where we were completely desperate. Obviously, I follow you on Instagram, and I was like, I think it's time for the letter. In hindsight, I wish I wrote the letter earlier in the bidding process, because maybe we would have saved a little bit of money. But look, what's done is done. Basically what happened was we were completely outbid. I rang Jill, the estate agent, and I was like, look, we can't go any higher. Would you mind if we wrote the seller a letter? Would you mind passing along? She was like, of course, no problem. And I think it's important to say as well, in our letter, we didn't match the current highest bid or go higher. We had to stick with our previous lower bid. But yeah, we just honestly, we were just pleading. It was complete desperation in the letter. Couple of things that we included in it were, I suppose, we bought in Naas, and that is my hometown, and David has family in Naas as well, but it's where so many of our friends are. So just all of the reasons why we wanted to live in Naas. So, you know, we were disclosed that we were like moving back from Dublin. We're a young couple. This is our first home. We're just trying to get onto the property ladder. Literally going into detail of, my mum and dad live this far away. David's family live that far away from the house. For example, one of my best friends grew up in the estate next to our estate. And I was even saying, you know, I've grown up coming to this estate. I would love to call this home. What else did I include in that? Oh my God, I'm trying to think back now. Oh, also, and I feel I'm just going to be completely honest, and I feel bad saying this, and I hope it doesn't, it'll probably help people realistically, but I think being first time buyers was a huge plus for us, because the people who outbid us were in a chain, and given the time of year it was end of September, start of October, and we knew that the seller wanted a quick sale, because they had previously gone sale agreed and it had fallen through. So we knew that he wanted a quick sale, because he had been going through this process for a couple of months already at this stage. So we said in the letter, you know, we're first time buyers. We are ready to go. Everything is in place. We can guarantee that this will be done before Christmas. I know not everyone will be in this position, obviously, but we have a very, very close family connection to our solicitor. So we were able to say that as well, to say we will like taunt him until this gets done. And that we did, which was another thing. But just another factor, I suppose, to include now. In the end, solicitors will take as much time as it takes. You know that yourself. But I think being able to just say that was enough, but the whole being a first-time buyer definitely tipped it in our favor. I'm trying to think if there was anything else that we included. I think that was pretty much it.
But, well, it's good. It's good. Yeah. And it's so important that people understand how they need to just be so organized. And obviously it's something I'm always banging on about, is you have to have everything organized, especially if you're thinking about writing a letter, because there's no point writing a letter promising everything and then, you know, you're not following through. That's not fair on anyone. But then, as you said, there's always going to be, you know, if there's loads of people bidding on a house, someone's going to lose out. You know, most people are going to lose out. There's only one party that are going to win. And obviously that's tough if people are in a chain and they're trying to sell and buy at the same time. It's going to be really difficult for them to compete against a first-time buyer, because you're not in a chain, or even worse, a cash buyer. It's very, very difficult to beat them. So you wrote the letter, the estate agent kindly sent it on, and the sellers chose you. Were the people you were bidding against, had they bid more than you had?
Yes. So you were outbid.
You don't need to go into too much personal details, you know. but you were outbid. The letter worked, you sent it, the estate agent sent it through. And did you meet the sellers at all? No, it was all done via the agent and the solicitors.
It was all done via the agent and the solicitors. Now, we ended up meeting the seller down the line, because his post came to the house and he really needed something. But actually, one thing to note on our seller, he was actually not living in the house, so it was an investment property for him, so he really had no could have just gone with the highest bid. It was an investment. It wasn't his home. Well, it could have been before, but at the time of selling, it wasn't his home. So we really didn't think that that it would work, but it did. But no, we never met with him. We kind of knew who he might be. Just small town, I suppose, knowing a name or whatever. But yeah, it was all done through the agent. But worth mentioning as well, I remember when I asked Jill if I could write a letter and send it, she was like, Niamh, and she was really frank with me. She was like, if I'm giving him this letter, you know, don't let me down. Like, don't tell me you're bidding somewhere else and that actually you're going to go in this direction, because it's her relationship with her client as well. So yeah, just on being organized and being upfront and being honest. I suppose true to your word, honest. Yeah, like now I couldn't really tell, wouldn't be one to lie or like anything like that, because I just I wouldn't be able to live with myself in a situation like that if I felt like I had wronged someone personally. But I know that it can get so competitive, and yeah, people are bidding on different houses, and yeah, keeping their options open, it definitely does happen.
It's tough because it's hard to say to somebody you should only really be bidding on one home, because they may miss out on multiple homes. So it's a really tough, as you said at the start, the whole bidding process is archaic in my opinion. I think there could be a lot of things that can be done to try and improve the whole home buying process here, which is something I'm working on. But
you'll get there, I've no doubt.
But it's great that it worked out for you. And as you said, obviously somebody lost out. There was another buyer that lost out, and the letter. Your letter trick, although it works great for you, somebody misses out, and it's, you know,
you feel awful. Of that.
But that's just how it goes, you know. There's not I always say you have to do whatever you can to get your home, and hopefully those people that who did outbid you but didn't win in the end, hopefully they found something since. So it's just that's just how it goes, unfortunately. And that's the problem when there's so few homes available for people to buy, that people are kind of being put in competition with each other. And when you're an empathetic
person, you're just praying
person,
you don't know someone else at the viewing. Yeah, you're praying. No. Like, I remember we were saying, we were coming down to view houses, you know, we had friends that we were viewing as well, like say X and Y. I was like, what do we do if we see them there? Like, I feel like they would like this house as well. Do you know, do we have a conversation? Do we say, you take it, or we really want it? Do you know, you really start to overthink it. But it's so competitive, and I think in like a town like Mace, there is it's hard to put a number on the population because it's literally sprawling, and it's over a couple of towns and villages now. But I went on to Daft last night, and there's 50 houses available in Mace town, and it's a commuter town. It's half an hour from Dublin. There are tens of thousands of people living in this town, and there's 50 houses available. It's insane.
Yeah, and it's so tough for people when supply is so low of homes available to buy, as well as homes available to rent, because I know you were a renter and then you managed to get out of that. But anyway, maybe going back to a more positive thing for our last question. So looking back at the whole thing, what would be the most rewarding moment of your home buying journey? A moment that still, you know, makes you feel really good or makes you smile?
Definitely the night that we got the keys. It was just, of course, it was like at 1 minute to 5 o'clock waiting for the funds to finally go through or whatever. But definitely when we got the keys, but also when we got the call to say that the seller had chosen to go with us after we sent the letter. But that whole time, it's just so exciting. I remember we went in, we had our champagne and two glasses, and I for some reason thought that because we weren't hooked up to the electricity, obviously I'd never bought a house before, I just thought that it would be pitch black because it was the end of November. I went in and I was like bringing a torch. I was like, the electricity's cut off, and obviously it wasn't. Just turned on the light. It's like, okay, I don't know what way I pictured that going in my head. But we came in, and actually it was so funny because I brought my family's dog over with me, and we were cheersing and, you know, so happy. And then David's family came over, and I was showing them around, and I went into one of the bedrooms, and my dog had gone for just a number two with excitement in one of the bedrooms. So I was like, oh my God, this has brought us straight back down to earth. It was so funny, but just such a reality check at the moment. But it was brilliant. It was just so exciting.
Yeah, who doesn't want to walk into a lovely big shit on the ground in a lovely new home?
But I walked in, I was like, oh God, what is that smell? I was like, oh no, no, no. Oh my God, there's something dead in here. Jeez, call Jill, there's something wrong. And I was like, never mind, it is Harry.
It is. It's a fantastic feeling getting those keys, and it's a feeling I think everybody deserves, you know, and should strive toward, because it is that first, even when you spend a first night. Well, I know, just remember when we got our keys, we didn't stay here because we were renovating the place. We planned on renovating it, so we didn't stay the night, but we just came around, and we were just coming around every day because we had the keys.
That was us as well, corner. Yeah.
And just coming around and just doing little bits here and there, and moving stuff and putting stuff up on adverts and all the rest. Yeah. And that first time you turned the key in the door. Did you get a photo? Did you take a photo?
We took a photo. Yeah, I actually took a video, and I just took a screenshot from the video. And it's so nice to go back and even watch the video. It's dead silence, just the two of us, but we're just just so excited. It's amazing. You'd want everyone to get that feeling, and anyone, especially people who are, you know, on that journey. It can be so long, and you know, we know how lucky we are to have, you know, been successful. If this podcast can offer any advice or help to someone in that position, then super. But it is a process, and it's worth it in the end. That's the thing, it's worth it.
That's it. It's always worth it in the end, no matter how many knockbacks or how many fails you have. Just getting those keys in the end, it's fantastic.
So yeah, definitely.
Thanks so much, Niamh, for giving us your story and telling us about how the letter worked for you and those kind of feelings and emotions that you got from buying your own home. I really appreciate it, and thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Not at all. Thank you for having me.
Now, what a fantastic conversation that was with Niamh. Big thanks to her for sharing her inspiring and educational home buying journey with us, and how she found the letter trick. So what you should do is check out Niamh O'Sullivan on Instagram. She has some really good content over there, all about some bits about interior design, and most of it is about food and some really good recipe ideas and stuff. Really good page to follow. So check her out on Instagram. And as always, a massive thank you to my patrons and the sponsors of the podcast for their ongoing support and for supporting the Instagram. If you want to join the Patreon, it's patreon.com/crazyhouseprices. Lots of exclusive content over there where I do Q&As and all sorts of stuff. It's a really good tool if you're buying a home in Ireland, but also don't forget to check out my best-selling book, How to Buy a Home in Ireland. It goes into all of the things we spoke about in today's episode and much, much more. And as they say, it's available in all good bookstores. So thank you so much for listening, and slán go fóill.